Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another Saturday morning coffee tea with me. And today, launched after the USS Nimitz, our very own dearest friend, fantastic holistic practitioner, Robert Scott Bell. Come in, Robert.
Hey, Mel, I'm here. I apparently landed safely. And I don't have an agenda as usual. I just am here to support you guys. So if you have questions or anything you want me to focus on today, by all means, let it rip. But Mel, again, you might have some thoughts to begin the show today.
Oh, I have always have thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So my first thought to wait a minute. Let me just make sure. Donald, everything okay?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure you had the recording all on. That's all.
No, I know. I really understand. Thanks, buddy. I know that you love me again when you remind me. Giving $5 was the best move I made this year.
Yep.
All righty, guys. So, Robert, why don't you give us your final thoughts on the Corona, I call it, I can't ever get the name right, but... the virus. What are your final thoughts now that there seems to be some return to normalcy, although I walk around and my state has become very liberal again, but yet there are people still in terror with masks. And there are these stupid little paper masks that don't do anything anyway. But yet how was it, is the media so strong that it can put the world in fear?
Yes, I mean, it really is actually more our weakness, our vulnerability that we've discussed before, I know, and that is the embedded fear of the germ. But when they move from bacteria, which we can identify, when they move from fungal species, which we can identify, to viruses as a cause of, let's say, an infection or whatever they claim it to be, that's when we have entered into total pharmaceutical fantasy land, because if we go back to 1918, what they now call the Spanish flu of 1918, we must realize that they hadn't even identified what they call viruses yet, because they didn't have the technology to see small enough, and that was the invention of the transmission or the electron microscope. And that happened over a decade and a half later. And they identified, or so they claim, the cause of Spanish flu by digging up a dead guy who died at that time, 1918, in Alaska. They dug him up frozen, and they pulled stuff out of his body, and they said, aha, we identified the cause. It's this thing. We call it, a virus. And at that point, all bets were off, because people were enamored with the technology of the 20th century that was emerging, and it fit into a preconceived notion of bacteria and other things causing quote-unquote disease or infection. So they played right into our fears, and they went to something that nobody could really verify or validate. You just had to take them at their word, because hey, after all, they were doctors, they were scientists, and we were like, wow, this is amazing what this technology is doing. And at that time already we had abandoned spirit, truly, because we were afraid, because man told us we had to be afraid. This was it wasn't God's message. And so when we look back at that, that became the clarion call throughout the 20th century into the 21st. And, of course, we have grown up with every year the annual fear porn game of the flu shot, right? The flu is going to get us. It's 1918 all over again. And they finally got it to stick, not with the flu, but what would they call a coronavirus that came initially, Fauci says, from a bat or a wet market. And now he goes, maybe it could have come from the Wuhan lab that, we sent money to, what we didn't, but we did. I mean, it's so obviously confusing because he's purposefully just changing his mind every day. But what I've come to the conclusion over the course of my studies is that the virus has always been, is always, and will always be a cover story for something else that is real. And the virus, even if they could identify the money that was sent to Wuhan and that they did gain of function studies and that something got out, what do we know now looking back? We know it is something that kills only people that are already on death's door with multiple comorbidities, on multiple medications, have morbid obesity, etc. And you know, even that's a specious claim, because the technology used to say that you died from it, at best you could claim you died with it. And even that's not validated, because the tests used to identify it are not standardized. They're only available still by emergency use authorization. So the virus is a cover story. In this case, it's a cover story for what? The promotion of gene therapy, not a vaccination. They call it that, but it's not. Altering your genetic manifestation through synthetic mRNA technology. And at some level, they know what they're doing. Most people are either just completely ignorant or arrogant and just follow along with what they're told, like good Germans, and have not read the Nuremberg Code. And so they continue to insist that this is a critically necessary thing that we all must undergo, and now we must target children, because, of course, they were all dying in mass. They were spreading this thing like crazy. Of course, neither one of those things are true, because they, at some level, are targeting us for elimination. And it's a slow kill for some, because they can get the young people and they can stop them from procreating by altering their fertility, which is already on the decline due to so many issues, including pesticides and herbicides and GMOs, and now we add into the mix fifth-generation wireless technologies, etc. So we are looking at, in some cases, though, with the heart inflammation or myocarditis that they acknowledge manifesting in young people, it could be a fast kill for some young people, but it's more likely those who are older, where they say, well, these people were going to die anyway. It's harder to say that about children, and yet they're trying to do so. So previously, let's say cover stories when it's the virus was like the Zika virus a few years ago down in Brazil. The Zika virus was, they said, is the culprit in causing microcephaly, the small-headed syndrome of birth defect. But they had known about the Zika virus since about 1947, and it had never done anything. You know, they said it really doesn't cause anything, maybe a sniffle, right? And suddenly, in the span of a few months, they said, oh, no, this is a disaster. The Zika is going to cause everybody to have shrunken heads. And they started looking to test it. Do we need to come up with a vaccine? At the time, they threw hundreds of millions at it. And, of course, it turns out that they were covering for a multinational chemical company that was dumping larvicide into the water supply in an area that this microcephaly began to occur, the birth defects, because microcephaly was a known effect of that particular larvicide that was being dumped in the water in Brazil. But again, the cover story is a virus, always a virus. The cover story of SARS in the early 2000s, also a cover story. But in this case, it softened us up to believe that there was a new killer virus that 100 years on we were waiting for. This is the big one. This is the one that's coming. Red Fox, Fred Sanford. Remember, this is the big one. And most of the world fell for it. We're slowly coming out of it. You guys and gals here in this group have seen through a lot of it already and know that it isn't the virus, but the solution, quote-unquote, to it, which is the mRNA injection to alter your gene expression. So where are we now with that little update? I guess, Mel, I'm going to ask you what is needing more explanation, or where you want to go take it from here?
Well, no. What I want to do is once again reiterate, okay, that, you know, the majority of the people that are here are over 50. And yet most everyone is on the basic protocol for a certain amount of time. And the only cases where people even thought that they had it were with people who hadn't been on the protocol yet for 30 days. And they said after they'd been on the protocol the first month, in 3 weeks, whatever it was that it was dealing with was gone. But the fact that all the other people that are here, okay, and that come here, nobody's gotten this. So to me, you know, I've been chastised. I've gotten in a fist fight because I just stood my ground and said, this is all BS. Another thing to immobilize you people, okay? And yep. What it's really done, the effect that it's had on economy, on everything, is devastating. We're going to have inflation now like you haven't seen in an awful long time, but because of this, in my opinion. And I think it's just a crime, okay? And I'm glad that the people here are reading and educating themselves and not getting fooled, because, believe it or not, someone that we all love and care about lost his brother-in-law because after his brother-in-law took the shot.
Mm-hmm.
He choked to death. Dinner. Man, that it can't be any worse. And he only did it, he was actually forced, because he was actually a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, John is so anti this whole thing. I mean, let's just hope John doesn't get arrested for picketing.
Yeah.
No, I really, so I mean, you know, and then all the studies say that all those who have Lyme have had also very bad reactions to it. So I was been begging everybody not to do this. And I only know one person who had to do it from our website, and she took the Johnson & Johnson, and she feels that she's okay, but she didn't want to do it. She had to do it or lose her job.
Hmm.
So, I mean, it's all about control. Okay, and about fear, and fear is the way to get control. So, no to anything that they want to stick into your body. Forget it. As
mm-hmm.
we say in Manhattan, forget about it.
Yeah,
all right,
exactly.
We have any questions for Robert about the virus? Hit *5 now, or *5, or scream if it doesn't work. I got no hands up. Well, if someone tried to hit *5. Okay. Good morning, Carrie Ann and Joe.
Yes, good morning, Robert. This is Joe. Always glad when you're on and the information you provide. And just a couple of questions. You might dive into this later, but, you know, I'm a very logical person. I use analytics daily in my life.
Mm-hmm.
If this is gene expression, RNA, you can't defend that it's not. So all these doctors... Mm-hmm. hype to continue promoting it, how are they still able to, lack of a better word, weasel their way into this or keep lying to themselves? Are they getting kickbacks? What are they doing to defend this? It's obviously gene expression. You can't hide that. So what are they doing to hide this, to keep saying, oh, no, it's still better for you to do this? I can't wrap my mind around it. Can you shed any light on this?
Well, human behavior, psychology, whatever, we have a whole group of people, in particular the allopathic medical class, that are very programmed. They don't use critical thinking skills like you. And so they're part of a religion or a cult, if you will. It's not science, it's scientism. And so when they're told something is out, it's advanced, it's approved, it's been tested, and on, they are the ones that drink the Kool-Aid first. And it's unfortunate because I grew up looking up to doctors, doctors in my family, my uncle, who was the guy who warned me, don't become a doctor. Thank God he told me that. I didn't realize at the time, but that was something I would mature to understand. And we have to realize that human behavior at whatever level of intelligence we perceive someone is at is still very controllable, malleable, programmable. What is it? The Jesuit said, give me a child from 0 to 7 and I will give you the man, so to speak. And whether it's programmed from 0 to 7 or it's programmed in the hazing rituals of pharmaceutical medical schools, Flexner Report, drug-focused schools, we have a hard time perceiving it, especially when we wake up and think critically and we go, wait a second, how is this possible? How can they not see this? Now, I will say this from a spiritual perspective, if you may indulge me for a moment. My wife was engaged in an online spiritual class because everything's done by Zoom until everybody gets back together again. And in the midst of this class, people of similar faiths or the same faith, there were a few people on the call, on the Zoom conference, and they were medically oriented, doctor, nurse, that kind of thing, and they were just in the class actually so excited about the coming vaccines. Oh my gosh, it's going to be great. We're all going to get our freedom back. And my wife was just silently aghast at what was happening because she's trained holistically, as am I, and she said to to spirit, to God, right, and quietly to herself. He says, "Oh my gosh, what is happening here? How can we be on the same path, the same faith, and have such different views of this particular issue?" And almost as quickly as she asked, because she asked with great sincerity and an open heart, the answer came back: they are serving a different consciousness. Now, this is a very, I would call it a spiritually mature concept to get to this point where you recognize that God works through all of us at any point in our lives, depending, wherever we are, it can meet us there. And there are people that need to serve those people too. And even though we can be disgusted by it because we look at it and say, how do they not see it? There is a purpose for it. And I had to find a way to make peace with that, because it can bring a lot of anger and discord and all kinds of things that are not serving our benefit nor anybody else's. So this is something that, it's tough, especially if it's a loved one, or someone you really care deeply about. And you go, how do they not see this? And you just have to give them love and be ready to help them if they reach out to you for help before it's too late. And, that's a big part of my focus, now from, when this started coming out, is like, well, what can we do to remedy this for the people that kind of fell prey to the fear and did these things? Or in the case that you mentioned just now of Melody, someone who said, I will lose my job if I don't get the shot. And that's a sad state. I argue that people should leave their jobs, and I know that's an easy thing to say, but you understand my sentiment, and create their own, right? We must become our own entrepreneurs, because if we're in the control of an employer, and an employer suddenly says, this is your condition for employment, you could be stuck, and you don't have no other way out. We need to start figuring a way out so that we're not under the control of others that could, even if they mean well, put us in a situation that could be very harmful or even deadly to us. And I don't think we're obligated to allow that experimentation to occur, but everybody has a choice to make. That's the freedom that God gave us.
Joe, what do you think? Answer your question?
Yeah, it definitely does it. And sorry, Robert, and I won't take the whole time if I need to stop. I'm an auditor by trade, so I ask a question. There's usually three follow-ups.
No problem.
I love that you said the spirituality. And my wife is very big on, the spirituality, not in the God sense, but, what's going on out there. And I'm getting more into it myself. And, we're hearing these things on podcasts that 2021 is going to be this huge year, if not already, of awakening. People are waking up. The government and hiding things have been so flagrant on high, and it's just ridiculous. Like you said, we're starting to ask what is up. So when do you think this is finally going to blow up in whoever's doing this in their faces? Because it seems like it's like a bubble ready to burst.
Well, yeah, I agree. And I've never been one to make a calendar predictions, because there's so much to consciousness, right? And it's our individual consciousness. There's a collective consciousness as well as one of us, each of us impacts on every one of us. And so I'm not privy to that. I don't have delusions of grandeur. I do sense, like you do, that we're at a closer point than ever, and that things are accelerating and it's becoming more obvious to more people. I'll give you a small example that's maybe considered mundane, but I think it's significant. Since the time I've been, homeopath and then broadcast, I started broadcasting in 1999, it was estimated that the people who were questioning vaccination or had come to the conclusion that vaccines were just horrific experiments, maybe 1%, 2%, 3% at the max, okay? And what we're finding out over the course of the last year and a half, especially with Operation Warp Speed and what's going on with these mRNA shots, we're upwards now of 24-25%, where it looks like a solid 20% are no, you can't convince me, right? So from 3% max to 20% now, solidly in the no way, no how are you going to give me that shot. So that's evidence to me of major transformation that I could not have achieved, all of the new media could not have achieved, and yet it was achieved because what we call the bad guys, the low consciousness lizard brains, have pushed too hard, too fast in desperation. Therefore, their plan is backfiring. It doesn't mean people aren't going to be harmed or even killed along the way, but they also have a means by which they are very adept at controlling the response. We call these limited hangouts, or even Anthony Fauci, who changes his mind every day, every week. And there has to be, at some level, a plan to do that, because part of the psychological operations is to keep people off balance by never giving a definitive answer, so that the people are so confused that they just give up and they go, all right, Dr. Fauci, you do tell me what I'll do whatever you say, or whatever authoritarian figure. And that's part of the play too. So as we see, Fauci is being hung out to dry. At the same time, he's not fired. He's still there. Who knows what's going to happen? Is he going to be the fall guy ultimately? And there are a lot more people behind Fauci that were involved in this. And Fauci has been kind of the kingmaker at NIAID. He's pretty much an ass. Carrie Mullis said so, and others that have worked with him know that he basically says, you do it my way or it's the highway. You don't get a grant. So he's had more power than the president for 40 years now at NIAID. But we would be mistaken to say he's the only guy, and if we just take care of Fauci, all this goes away. I think they might try to throw Fauci under the bus and go, see, we've solved it, but I don't know what the ultimate play is. But it's up to each and every one of us to not participate in this madness. And as we withdraw our consent, our energy, our money, then that collapses on it of its own weight. And all we have to do is, you know, stay back and hopefully not be harmed by the collapse, so that we can be prepared to pick up the pieces and build anew, or help those that are waking up who have been injured in the collapse. Some people will not survive it just because psychologically it's too traumatic, or even spiritually it's too traumatic to see that they've been lied to the depth that they've been lied to. And it's a horrific, horrific game that's being played on all of us. And I hesitate to use the word game, but for lack of a better way to describe it.
Well, I guess we have a feeling of how you're feeling. Do we have any other questions before I press on and ask our illustrious guests the next question that I have for them? All right. Well, our kind of medicine, Robert, has evolved more quickly in the last few years than any other kind of medicine, I think, on Earth. And yet, we have to fight a battle every day to make sure that our kind of medicine is going to be allowed to reach the public. What are your thoughts?
When you say our kind of medicine, I want to be sure I'm talking about what we do here, for instance, what I do on my show versus something else. I want to make sure we're talking about the same thing.
We're talking, you know, natural herbs, nutritional supplements, water, rest, sleep, diet.
Yeah.
I mean, things that we've been preaching for years and years, okay?
Right, right.
Are being more readily accepted in the last few years now than ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you remember, Mel, back in the 90s, I don't know, what were you doing in the 90s? Do we even want to know?
Okay,
the idea...
Okay, in the 90s, you guys try not to laugh, okay?
Yeah.
I was modeling for three different agencies in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
I was working in a quarry so I could get my body in, like, Superman condition.
Mm.
And I was, wait, I'm not done. I built three ponds in Georgia, and I worked 2 days a week, even though I limped because I was terribly crippled, as a waiter in an Italian restaurant, and made a lot of money.
Was that all in Atlanta?
Jobs in the 90s in Atlanta, Georgia.
Gosh, we could have run into each other way back when, because I grew up for 30 years in the Atlanta area. Well, what was the name of the restaurant? Does it still exist?
I was living in Lilburn next to John's father, but didn't know John was even existed.
That's right. Yeah, we were all there. That is so funny. What was the name of the restaurant? Where was that? Not in Lilburn.
It was at the Three Corners. It was a Greek-Italian place.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember the name, but I might have an apron from there. I'll look around the house.
That's funny. Yeah, because, you know, I was in Stone Mountain.
And right next door was a chiropractor, and
mm-hmm.
I built on for the chiropractor next to the Greek-Italian restaurant.
Wow. Very cool. Yeah, no, there's a lot of great quarries there in the Stone Mountain Lilburn area, out to Connors and everything. Yeah.
I did a part in a movie in a quarry there. It looked like Men in Black. I'll have to send you a still. You'll faint laughing.
Wow, that's cool.
I really loved Atlanta. Second best city in the world to party in at night.
Yeah, that was the time.
Wednesday nights was Latin. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, anything went.
I would have predicted you were the bouncer at that point, but okay. You were doing some cooking. That's good. That explains it. Or waiting, anyway. But at that time, and I was bringing up the 90s because that was, you know, my formative years. That decade was the intense year of study for me into all things homeopathic and natural, you know, undoing all the programming I had for the first 24 years of my life up until that time. And so one of the things I learned is that I think it was around 94, they found out that more money was being spent out of pocket for natural remedies than all the insurance, you know, on other things. So it's like already the American people were very, very invested in natural medicine, natural remedies. Now, a recent story I had was about oncologists surprised to learn that their patients, even those that still go to oncologists, 75% or maybe it was 90% are taking other forms of alternatives to help them as well. So we are already there. We're beyond the tipping point. It's only a matter of the what we call the economic governmental controls through fear and monopoly practices that are limiting an absolute, what we call an explosion everywhere that's in your face, because behind the scenes, everybody is utilizing this stuff. And we see more doctors coming on board every day. They're taking courses over at Trinity School of Natural Health now. It's like they didn't learn this stuff in school. They all realize they have to, or else they're going to be left behind. And I've told them, I said, look, your license is not going to protect you. It's actually, it's a trap. Eventually, you know, man, some doctors that are friends of mine have left their licenses behind and found their freedom, and they're still helping people, but they're not hanging their shingle as a medical doctor, even though they're still medical doctors. So we're in a transition phase of what our what we value, right, as far as a doctor. And I think it's a time, if those of you who are have a kind of an inner push, a feeling that you should be a healer, and you are, but to hang a shingle, there's going to be a time soon that will be expected. It'll be the norm. It won't be the outlying situation. Now, in America, we're working on expanding the number of states that has safe harbor legislation passed into law. That's my good friend Diane Miller with the National Health Freedom Coalition and National Health Freedom Action. In fact, she's on my show tomorrow at 1 o'clock Eastern time. We talk about her new book, Health Freedom, or the greatest freedom, really. It's a starting point. And we talk about the fact that the movement to protect those doctors too, because the doctors are assaulted and attacked simply for wanting to speak out about these issues as well. So I think we're already there, Mel, and it's the illusion of the media, which is really funded. 75-80% of their funds come from pharma, that they will have or foment an illusion that it's still alternative, it's still quackery, it's still fringe, and it's so far not that. It's just like they're in an altered reality already, and we're well beyond it.
Okay, well, you know, for a long time, you and I have known the benefits, and for a long time, we really kept really quite quiet about it, of hemp oil and medical marijuana oil.
Yep.
And you know, when I first learned about it, it was back in 2012. It was Rick Simpson, Run from the
right.
Cure. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he taught me how to do it. We had to get a cooker. I mean, it was wild back then. But, boy, did it work. Okay? And I could have really gotten in so much trouble. I mean, really. But I didn't care. Okay, when someone came to me and told me they had cancer for the second time, and I knew them most of my life, I said, well, I could help you if you'll let me. Okay, but it's evolved. Okay, now there's no more cooking, it's extraction.
Mm-hmm.
And the next phase is going to be germination of seeds. okay? So even, and nobody, you know, most nobody over 50 wants to even hear about it when I try to talk to them about it. And it's so sad to me, because really, if all the information was really allowed to be made available, wow, wouldn't it change things when we didn't need nearly as many doctors or hospitals?
Yeah, oh, exactly. And there was a time in our past that was erased and rewritten, you know, in Unlock the Power to Heal. I talk about, again, the Flexner Report and how they basically rewrote history. One of the series of books that I studied back in the 90s when I was prolific in my hunger, voracious appetite to learn these things, was a series of books called Divided Legacy by Harris Coulter, C-O-U-L-T-E-R. And it was the unabridged history of medicine in America and how homeopathy and naturopathy and herbs were mainstay of medicine and hospitals and everything, and that in the early part of the 20th century, that's where it began to shift toward patent petrochemical medical monopolies, and it wasn't by accident. So it takes a lot to overcome that, but there's a lot of inertia, but there's a lot of collapse as people realize the horrific nature or lack of nature within that system. You know, it's well known that modern medicine is the third leading cause of death, yet why is that not, you know, getting congressional hearings, right? If herbs were the third leading cause of death, heck, if they were the 10th leading cause of death, there would be outrage and Congress would be, you know, seeking to ban them and having hearings and grandstanding every day. But it tells you all you need to know about who runs the things behind the scenes, that you can be the third, or I argue second or first leading cause of death, and it's met with a shrug. You just said something so horrific that I can't even compute it, you know. And again, we talk about programming people, right, and cognitive dissonance. That's what we're seeing and witnessing. As far as, you know, moving forward, you know, the recognition that CBD and THC and all the cannabinoids and terpenes in the cannabis plant are an absolute godsend, as you know, and that's rapidly changed and transformed. You know, I didn't know this growing up. I believed all the lies about cannabis, and so over years it took for me to come to the conclusion that, like, oh my God, I was lied to. I fell for it, right? And so we're all vulnerable, and I think that's what keeps me humble, to remember, hey, I was once at a point that I didn't know any of this, and there are probably things right now as we speak I know nothing about that I'll look back 10 years from now, look back, my man, I thought I knew stuff and I didn't know a thing, right? So trying to remain humble in the midst of, yes, Mel, you know a lot, and I know a lot, and many of the people on this call know a lot, but we're always capable of learning more if we remain open to it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when I just think about the knowledge that I've gathered, you know, in the 10 years of, you know, working with oils and how it's evolved from you had to cook it and everybody had to get high because once you cook it, activates the THC, and now let's extract it and use the oil, and nobody has to get high, and older people are going to really like that, but it's going to have the same positive benefits. And then this newest thing where we're experimenting, and I say we, there's three of us that are working on this, about germinating hemp seeds and marijuana seeds to a certain point and then throwing them in the salads and seeing how that's going to help. And so far the results are pretty good. I keep getting younger and everyone's screaming at me. All right. So what are your thoughts about the oil? I mean, you've learned a lot about it.
Well, I would not want to be without it. I don't have any major complaint issues like I did growing up. I've overcome so much. I'm not saying I'm perfect. We all have challenges, but my wife in particular, she's alive today because of that plant. And I'm not exaggerating. I've told her story many times over the years with the injury that occurred from dental extractions gone wrong and cavitations. And, you know, first it was the CBD, then it was the whole plant, and then variations of it, along with other things we've learned to manage pain, anxiety, et cetera. But as we learn more about the gut-brain connection and even the microbiome, we learn that the cannabinoids, CBD, and other things have a tremendous benefit on the gut, which, of course, in turn has a tremendous vital benefit for the brain directly and indirectly. and that when we're dealing also with the massive explosion in neurological degradation, Alzheimer's, dementia, different things, Parkinson's, the role of cannabinoids cannot be overstated how important they are in conjunction with other what essential fatty acids and other healthy fats, including saturated fats of clean organic origin points. So, you know, we have been, I say 70 years, maybe more, a massive part of our ability to be healthy, stay healthy, remain aware and clear has been erased or attempted to be erased from the planet. So we're all playing catch up. And even though I wrote about the cannabinoids, CBD and to some degree THC, and Unlock the Power to Heal, we're learning so much more by the day, week, and month that it's hard to keep up with it all. Not only that, of course, anti-cancer, anti-proliferative properties, etc. We just found, I'm going to send you this, Mel, and you can decide to send it out or not, a source that now we have at the Robert Scott Bell Show that's certified organic grown in America, in Colorado, and hand harvested. The guy cares so much about it. It's like, these guys are amazing. And I'm just going to send you this. You decide to do what you want, but I'm so happy we've got that source.
We'll talk about this next week. You know, you and I have discussed this a little bit before. My colleague or friend, Dr. William Courtney, is not going to sell the product. That's not what he does.
Yep.
He's working on his newest book and the newest research, as I mentioned, about, you know, growing, you know, the seeds to a certain point and then using the sprouts and salads and things. But, I mean, no. We'll go over that. We're going to do that, okay? I want to do that because there are so many people here that I'd like to give them a real reliable source that they can go to, because so many of the people who had problems sleeping are now using the oil. And, hey, I think enough said. Does anybody have any questions about the oil? Hemp oil, medical marijuana oil, don't be shy. Government's not here today. All right. Robert, I think we'd like to go around the room and field questions, and then if something comes to your mind you want to talk about, you'll just go ahead.
Sure.
All right. Well, hey, the first hand up was the person I was going to go to second. Agent B1. B1, come in.
Hello.
Do you have a question? Robert Scott.
No, I'm just getting informed and appreciative, and I'm listening in. I appreciate everything.
Okay, well, thank you, and we're glad that you're with us today, B1. All right, Carrie Ann and Joe.
Yeah, just one more question, Robert. You had mentioned earlier, and my wife was telling me about this from a different podcast, you know, the whole going from bacteria to viral, which I think you provide such good information on. My question is, with the whole gene expression and giving to the kids that you said, do you believe then when you said earlier you believe it's a cover for something? Is the cover that you believe to be for overall population control because of where we're heading with 10 billion plus people by 2050? I've done a lot of nutritional, whole plant-based eating stuff the last 4 or 5 years, and I know that arable land is going to run out at some point. So I didn't know if that's all part of this or what maybe your thoughts are without, you know, going too in-depth of Robert Scott Bell, but anything like that, if that's on the track that I'm thinking.
Well, they've come right out and said that. I mean, this is not new information or new news. It's horrific news, but that has to be a significant part of the play. You know, it's uncontrollable in terms of if you're wanting to control the population, you realize that if it grows too large, you'll lose control. So this is not new. Again, they've overtly stated that population reduction is a worthwhile and worthy goal. Unfortunately, they are trying to accelerate it through nefarious means, not by, let's say, people making a choice to procreate or not. They just want to basically stop people from having babies, and this is one way, a significant way to do it. It was already happening prior to this. As we said, the fertility rates for both men and women have been declining for many years, arguably decades, but more so when they began to genetically engineer the food supply. But now we're looking at, again, a great targeted acceleration by altering, you know, gene manifestation, you know, protein manifestation through genetic code. So I think that what you're saying is very much in the realm of part of the many aspects of this, because it's not just one thing. There are many things involved, but that is a significant goal that they have admitted, acknowledged that they have.
Great. Thanks, Robert. That was, again, mm-hmm. having you here is wonderful. So thanks, Mel. I think I'm done with questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have a bunch more, but I checked over the email to see if Freddie sent me any instructions. Yes, come on in, Diane and Paul.
Yeah, hi, Robert. Thanks, Mel. Can you explain, kind of in layman's terms, the difference between the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and then the other two, the whole mRNA? Can you help me understand
sure.
what's going on between those, the two differences there?
Yeah, the end result is very similar or nearly identical. It's the production of these spike proteins. It's just different in terms of how they deliver it into the cell so that you begin to become spike protein manufacturers, your cells become. So in the layest of lay terms, it basically accomplishes just about the same thing, just in a minor different thing. They send it, you know, in an envelope of, an adenovirus. In the other case, they send it in globules of nanoparticulized fat, right, to deliver the RNA directly for production. So we can get hung up on the differences, but they both are targeting the same end goal, which is to have your cells produce these spike proteins that seem to be damaging any and every organ via direct inflammation response, you know, whether it be endothelial tissue within the heart or any other area of the body, which we're seeing it manifest. So don't get hung up on this one's better. We talked about that, I remember, a few calls ago, where, well, which one should I take if I have to take one, right? It was always neither is the answer. The argument about which one was safer, I don't think there is one that you could say is safer at this point, as we've seen more over time from both of the so-called technologies.
Okay, thank you. And then another completely unrelated question is vitamin D3. What do you think is a healthy, is there a healthy daily dose?
You said D3?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I am obviously, I think over time, you know, I'm all about getting it through the most natural means necessary, you know, let's say that we're designed to get it, like sun exposure primarily. And in the Northern Hemisphere, I think most of us on this call are there. We have the great benefit of getting out in the sun in the summer mostly, preferably morning and afternoon, you know, after the height of the day where it's most intense, you don't need it then. But the D3, a lot of it, you got to be careful of the source. A lot of it comes from lanolin, which is not so bad relative to some other sources when they synthesize the stuff. But how much really is, it's hard to say. I know a lot of people are very big on the blood tests, but I'm always suspicious of these tests that they're not necessarily accurate in terms of how it's manifesting in other areas of the body. And others say, no, it's good, it's great. I tend to go with natural exposure as much as possible. I personally take a little bit of, I don't even know my wife, how much do I take the D3 when you give me a little bit? Honey, some things I defer to my wife, right? Because she keeps me alive. And
yeah.
And there's a little bit in the Cardio Miracle that I take every day, which is, you know, something I don't know if we mentioned before, talking about protecting our endothelial tissue. Nitric oxide plays a huge role, and my good friend, John Hewlett developed a formula that was now tested by Malinsky, a PhD researcher, the double-blind peer-reviewed study that's published, and found that they could enhance nitric oxide production prolonged, but also simultaneously reduce the peroxynitrite, which is a very dangerous free radical that also tends to come along when you boost nitric oxide. And this formulation allowed for that. It has a little bit of D3 in it, not too much, so you're not overdosing. So are we doing this every day? Are you giving me this every day? Every other day, maybe? Yeah, in the summer, it's not a big deal, but it's 2,000 international units. It's not much. But you know, you can overdose on it because it's a fat-soluble complex hormone. It's not just one thing. So you've got to find out what works for you. Although we know that it is a benefit, it can be a detriment, too, if you take too much. So I can't give a definitive answer for everybody because everybody is unique in this case. It's not a one-size-fits-all.
Okay, we found over the 12 years of doing this now that the thing that's constant is that everybody's different and that different people have ability to utilize and pass vitamin D, and some people have no ability and they overload. So we have D in Bergstein formula, and I, now that I'm better, and it's only because I don't get in the sun the way I used to get in the sun because of the nature of what I do, which puts me in this chair in front of this computer about 50 hours a week. So I take D3 every other day. Okay?
Yep.
When
there
I was ill, I took the D every day because, I mean, I'm getting so many emails for you from Robert.
Yeah, I'm giving you updates today. This is the day. You're going to have to deal with me.
You know, Freddie Bean hung up, I guess, or whatever. But, I mean, I'm getting up these emails anyway. Let's keep on keeping on. We have other questions. Valera, go ahead. Is that you, 951?
Okay, can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I was muted. I have a question about the CBD oils and stuff, because there's so many different kinds and varieties of different kinds of, I don't know what is what.
Yeah.
Can you
tell
me
more? Don't worry about it. Let me interrupt you, honey. Don't worry about that. I'll talk to you about that in a coaching session, and we'll be bringing a very reliable source to the website within a week.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So just hang on
to
that. Go over it on our next coaching call, and like I said, we'll have something set up within a week.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, you have anything else? Because you're new.
Well, I know myself. I would never want to take the jab of any kind. I think it's awful. But I would like to know how to get an exemption certificate so people won't be bothering me and my son.
Where are you located?
California.
Get out. Because you know, as long as the government is controlled the way it's controlled right now, they're looking to have no possible way to stay out of the shot. And I was saying, if you were somewhere else, it's just, hey, you know, you pack heat, you carry, because, you know, as I've said, if somebody comes at me with one of those syringes, I'll make a bigger hole, and they know it, and so they won't mess with me. But in California, they've made it so hard to even have a firearm for your protection, and that's what it's for, to protect life in this sense. But I don't know if things are going to shift. They've got the Recall Newsom campaign. I've talked about that on the air. The people that are so stupid, what they've done with the government to give them so much power over their life and their bodies, that I don't think they ever want to relinquish it unless it collapses. But then I'm concerned about China coming in and just taking up where Newsom left off. But looking for an exemption, you know what? The exemption is you're alive, you're breathing, and you have a way to protect yourself and your kids. But looking for the government, they've frightened doctors there to such a degree that they won't issue exemptions because they're threatened with loss of license as well. And that's a Richard Pan special. That guy is a criminal of some of the greatest orders. And he's still there, and he's, you know, singing and dancing and smiling as they're doing vaccine lotteries there with Newsom. It's just embarrassing.
You know what I did?
I'm ready to hear it.
I claimed I was mentally insane. Ha ha. Nobody laughed. All right. Let's get to
I think we missed the punchline.
I don't know that there is a punchline.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Come on in, Vanessa. Welcome, dear.
Hey. Hey, hi. So I actually laughed, but I was muted.
is you on mute us only. Yeah, only when we can talk so you can hear me. Hi, Robert Scott Bell.
Hi.
I always enjoy these calls with you. I have a question for a friend. I don't know if their son took the vaccine. I think he's about 16, maybe 60, close to 17, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And just out of the blue, he started throwing up and I had, you know, feeling dizzy and things like that. And he went to the emergency room and a few hours later they said he had stage 5 kidney disease. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, can you recover from this at all, or is it a no go?
Well, you know, renal failure is obviously very serious. They put you on hemodialysis for your survival sake. And, you know, my father passed away after, this is over 10 years ago now, after being on hemodialysis for about, what is it, 7, 8, 9 months. For him, it broke his spirit because he had to be tethered to this thing so every day. People can live a long time on that. But if there is any functional, let's say, if there's any function left in the kidney, it can be recovered and restored. And I look back at some of the things I've learned, not only homeopathically and herbally and other things, but the nitric oxide I mentioned, it's really the most profound tool to open up the micro capillaries for circulation and to help heal the endothelial tissue that's been damaged in the kidneys, which mm-hmm. are flooded with that tissue. So I would say to work with the sustained nitric oxide release without the peroxynitrite combination, which is, again, that's unique here. And that could help along with the other remedies, homeopathically, herbally, and otherwise that are known. Dr. Christopher out of Utah, Dr. Christopher's brand, he has a kidney blend that's very good as well. Can help.
Mm-hmm. But,
the damage that's done is very severe. It's not mild, and it's not necessarily easy to recover from. But if you do the right thing, there are things that can help that recovery to be a reality.
Can you give the name of that doctor in Utah slowly again?
Dr. Christopher's is a brand out of Utah. Dr. Christopher was a real doctor who made formulations that are still good to this day, although his family members may not know as much as he did. But that they have different formulas that I recommend. The Hawthorne berry syrup is the best on the market as far as heart-related issues, but the kidney formula they have is very good too.
All right.
Oh, okay.
All right. So now I'm going to. Is there any other subject you want to talk about before I go around the room once? Everybody say hello or ask a question.
Can you? Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was wondering if Mel was asking me or you.
Asking Rob.
Okay.
Go ahead. Let me just, I have some friends that have come over to pick up my daughter to take her out. And can I mute you guys out, chat for a moment? I won't leave. I'll come back and I'll let you know when I'm back just because I don't want to disrupt the meeting.
And no problem. Go ahead, buddy.
Thank you. Stand by. I'll be right back.
Okay. So, it's all recorded, and he can hear this later on. Agent B1, is there anything else you'd like to say?
When he said to move out of California, I'm just wondering what states he recommends.
Well, I recommend Nevada, because once you tell him that you're mentally insane, you don't have to do anything.
Well, they might take me anyway.
You come to Nevada, honey, okay? Well, you get on the Nevada side of Lake Tahoe, and you'll think you died and went to heaven.
The thing about it is the cost of housing, which is a whole nother agenda. So let me just...
Hey, it's not any worse than California.
Well,
okay?
I'm not in California.
And it's so bad. Wait a minute. And the only reason it's so bad here is because all those Californians moved here when it was cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's not as expensive as where you are, California. There's no way.
No, there's no way, but I'm not there. So, okay, I just wondered which states he recommended might be.
Oh, put the 10 best least expensive states to live in your Google search engine. Pick one. Let me know what it is, please.
Okay. What about Florida?
Oh, no. You don't want to go where it's hot and humid and mushrooms grow on the trees. No, no, no. No, 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 no. Okay. Come on in, Carrie Ann and Joe. Hi, Carrie Ann.
Hey, we're here. No further questions from us. Again, just a really great show, again, with Robert Scott Bell and wonderful information. And anyone without it who thinks and gets pressured about the vax that you might think, well, is it really that bad? Just keep listening to these. Don't do it. Thanks, Robert.
Okay. Nancy.
Yes.
Is there anything you'd like to say?
I just when he comes back, you can ask him about, you know, when I had that MRI done and they gave me that needle in my arm and I still got a knot in it. I've got where I don't trust medical procedures at all anymore. That's what's happened to me in the last 5 years. And I just wonder if the doctors are aware of some of the stuff they do or their former.
You know what I would do
stuff
with that lump? Forget about the doctors, honey. We can't change that. Okay? We just have to be happy that we found each other. Listen to me. You get some coconut oil and you start rubbing it every day on that boomp.
Yeah, I've been doing that.
All right. Well, it'll go away eventually.
Yeah.
All right. When he comes back, put your hand up and we'll get back to you.
Okay.
Brenda, anything you want to say? And welcome, Brenda. You keep on keeping on, girl. Huh?
Thanks, Mel. Yeah, I'll wait till Robert gets back. I just tuned into his show for the first time yesterday, and he's really spot on, isn't he?
Hey, sweetie. There are not many people I look up to. Not that I think I'm anything terribly special. But he's one of them, okay? Because he's dedicated even more time than I have to doing this. Although I started being my own physician after they told me I was never going to walk again after 13 months and three hospitals and having four operations. I just was not going to accept that. And so in 1980, I started to become my own physician and started reading more than I ever did when I was in school.
Mm. It's necessary today. It's really necessary to do that.
Hey, I'm going to outlive so many people. I mean, I don't have any friends. I got two left. You know? And I saw a young boy yesterday named Guy who I know for many years. Haven't seen him since I moved here, which is almost now going to be close to 3 years. And he just told me, he said, Jesus, what do you do? And I said, what do you mean, Guy? He says, I swear to God, you don't look a day older than the last time I saw you. You look a little happier. I said, yeah, I got a lower rent. And we both started laughing. And I mean, you know, being your own physician is really to absorb as much as humanly possible, to read and listen to those who really do know, that aren't motivated by money, okay? Just, you can pick up so much from so many. You just have to invest the time in yourself. All right, Brent, we're really happy you're here. I'll tell you, I ain't going to call John again. Because your order went from 3 things to 9 things. I told him later, I said, you're going to be out of business, you. And we both laughed.
Okay, I'm back.
He was a great
Thanks
guy.
Thanks for indulging me. You guys are having a good time, so you don't need me here.
Okay.
Okay. Robert, let Brenda finish, then I have a question for you backwards. But we were just going around the room, and you'll hear it. Everybody's just thanking you and telling you they love you, brother. So go ahead and finish
up. Oh,
sure,
say it while I can't hear it.
Well, that's why it's recorded, buddy.
Oh, okay.
Well, Robert, I just tuned into your show yesterday for the first time, and gosh, you were just so spot on with all my thoughts and everything that's going on in the crazy world around us. I just really appreciate it, and I certainly will be back for more.
Cool, thank you.
Thank you. And I do have a question on this shedding thing. There seems to be a lot of controversy about it, and, you know, which
right.
way do we go? Are these people that have been vaccinated really harmful to those of us that haven't? And how should we kind of navigate through that situation?
Well, I think it's basically the same message that Mel gives and we all give, that you have to be strong. You have to stay strong no matter what, on every level, physical, spiritual, and everything in between. I don't think that, you know, we're all doomed. Some people have that perception, and I can't abide by that. That's just not the way I'm going to live my life. So I'm not going to live in fear, even though I think there is absolutely a risk. It's bizarre what's happening with this gene spike protein transfer. But keeping your epithelial and endothelial tissue intact, you know, the number of ways, including we talked nitric oxide today briefly, silica, the Alta silica, which I get out of Idaho, is important for all connective tissue. Selenium, we've talked about for years, is very important and protective of all the cells of the body. So we have to just be diligent about this and, of course, keep up our spiritual practices to stay connected to the source of all sources in the midst of a lot of things that are unknown to us and could be, you know, legitimately scary. But we can't live in that fear because that makes us vulnerable again, right? Even if you can argue, well, it's right to be scared because this is scary. But we can't live in that state of consciousness because that makes us vulnerable as well. So I am, you know, studying up on this. I'm talking to doctors of all kinds all the time, including other homeopaths. We have gotten some remedies now. We actually have the so-called shots we've converted into homeopathic form, and we're getting some insight in how to use them to protect people that have gotten it or to protect us who haven't. So there are homeopathic options we're developing as well.
You know what we say in New York?
Well, other than forget about it?
Yeah, other than forget about it.
Yes.
Don't fool around with those who took the needle.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go back to Nancy, who had a question. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi, Robert. In the medical field, do you think the pharmaceutical companies are doing something to some of the medicine or the things doctors use when you have surgery or you have to have a procedure done that the doctors are not even aware of that they are using? Say they may implant something in ever so many bottles of something they use, and that's how people are getting some of the problems, health problems they're receiving?
Well, consider the history of the pharmaceutical industrial complex. And in a modern context, IG Farben, Nazi Germany, and it was all split off of there. What were they not capable of doing then? And what would make us think they're not capable of doing those same things today? So do I have proof of that? No. But you know them by their behavior. These companies have been fined throughout the world, not just in the United States, billions of dollars for, you know, lying, deceitful adulteration of their products and on and on. Why we would trust them is a, you know, mystery to me, knowing what I know and knowing what many of us know. Do I know for sure that they're messing with all their products to do that? I don't know. But would it be beyond them? No, absolutely not. So we've got to, you know, pray all the time if we ever have to go into that hospital setting and hope that you have a doctor and or nurses that are also spiritually oriented so that they pray too, so that they can be given guidance from God instead of just their programming from school.
Well, I have some good doctors that are good about praying before we have a procedure done, but for the last 5 years, I had a blood clot in my arm. They said it was an old blood clot. Never had a problem with any of that. And ever since they took it out and put me on Coumadin, I have had one health problem after another. And I keep telling them I don't want to keep taking the Coumadin, and they insist that I have to.
Well, that's their training. I mean, have you not done natokinase or lumbrokinase instead?
Yeah, well, I've talked to John, and we're working on it.
Okay, very good.
We're working on getting her off, and, you know, they're telling her she has to, and John's telling her she doesn't have to.
Well, I'm with John.
Okay.
He has product that does, to me, better that I was taking, and then they told me not to take that and take the Coumadin. I said, well, why can't I just take that and not the Coumadin? And they never have gave me a legitimate
answer. Why are you asking people that are programmed to believe every ailment is evidence of a deficiency of a toxic poison?
Good question. I was talking to my sister-in-law yesterday that works at a hospital in Columbia, South Carolina, and she refuses to take any type of medicine, and she's worked in the hospital for a long time because her sister just got put on a different medication, and it was like 30-something side effects from taking that medication. And she told my other sister-in-law, that's the reason I don't take any medicine.
Okay, well, that's the reason we recommend that you don't take any prescription drugs. We got to keep moving on, guys. Come on in, Brian. You have anything to say to Robert?
No questions. Just, Robert, thank you for being here. You've actually confirmed so many of my thoughts, so it's good to hear you say everything that you've been saying today. I guess, you know, I've been trying to tell friends and family about this vaccine for a long time, and they kind of treat me like I'm a conspiracy theorist or something, so they basically just glance over what I say. Is there anything I could really say or show them that could wake them up as far as this vaccine goes? Because I've tried everything, and nothing seems to work.
Yeah, well, they have, unfortunately, they are programmed. They are living in states of cognitive dissonance, and the difference between a conspiracy theory and a fact is 6 to 9 months now and accelerating. So all the people like me were saying things about this now are proven right, yet these people still can't seem to acknowledge that the things that we pointed out that were censored as being, you know, untrue or fake news or disinformation are now validated. So if your friends and family can't even see that, there's not a lot you can do but pray and just be there for them when they do wake up, hopefully before they leave this place. You know, the confirmations I give, that's why I do 2 hours a day, 6 days a week. If you can't get enough of Mel, join me any day of the week on my show, and you'll get those confirmations and validations and feel better about what you know to be true, you know. And we need to get together with people of like mind and similar value systems to strengthen our resolve to stand against not those individuals so much as the thought forms that they are manifesting and representing and believing in, because those things take form. You know, we are powerful co-creators according to what God provides for us, and we can create the negative and we can out-create the negative and create something wonderful and positive. And we strengthen each other by getting together like this, and also in person if you can get together, you know, with little events or big events, like I did the Advanced Medicine Conference in South Dakota a couple of weeks ago. And it's just very uplifting and strengthening every time we can come together like that.
We ought to have them all come to Reno to breakfast with us.
That's right.
We know a great restaurant, but I mean, don't we, young man?
Give me an excuse. Just give me an excuse.
All right. So let's keep on keeping on. Thank you so much, Brian. Terry, welcome, Terry.
Welcome, Robert. It's always great to have you on the calls. Really appreciate all your information. It's always, always awesome. But I really don't have any questions, but it's really been an enjoyable call, and I appreciate all your time. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, Donald, Kai, buddy. Come on in, Donald.
Thank you, Mel. Always a pleasure to hear you, Mr. Bell. Thank you for your knowledge. Very good
Thank
stuff.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
I have a couple of questions. The first one is...
Stop. Mm-hmm. This is the guy who always has the great questions. You remember, Robert?
I do. Now I'm really intimidated because you reminded me of that. Uh-oh, I better leave. I got to go. Sorry. See you later. Okay, Donald. One more time.
Here we go. I've heard that shedding of the virus happens from people who took the COVID vaccine. Do you believe this to be true, and how does that work?
Well, what we can say is shedding of the spike protein. The virus itself is problematic in terms of isolation, and I've covered this, and it's controversial, but the term or word isolation doesn't mean what you think it means. And it always reminds me of the Princess Bride. You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means. So I don't believe they've isolated one virus here, but they have monkeyed with something, and they do, again, the cover story was so that you would take the shot that would then produce the spike proteins that seem to be very damaging, inflammatory to endothelial tissue in particular, and that includes everywhere, including ovaries and testes, once again coming back to fertility issues.
Okay. I have another question. I know Marcon's is a staph infection. Can you explain how it colonizes the sinuses and does not cause an infection?
Yes. Well, you know, it seems to create what we call a chronic presence or a chronic infection presence. It's not an acute manifestation where you'll see with staph. You know, it'll manifest as the body resolves and targets it into, you know, little pockets, if you will, of boils or other things. So it seems that the terrain of the sinus cavity has been so altered. And, of course, there are things called biofilms as well that are created when these colonies come together to protect themselves. And they get deeply entrenched in tissue that has been altered, inflamed or otherwise. And it just situates itself there. It's not a good situation. I think it's an adaptation, and there may be things we don't yet understand about why it's manifesting there. You know, what is it? I tend to try to take the positive tack here and say, what is it protecting us from, you know, in an adaptation for survival scenario? Not optimal, but adaptation like Candida albicans, for instance, overgrowing the presence in the colon, not necessarily because we're feeding it sugar, although that can be the case, but if you've eliminated that, it's still having that scenario occur, then we recognize that nature provides a way for the candida to overgrow and engulf, for instance, heavy metals like mercury to protect our bodies, if you will, the larger entity that is our bodies. So I don't know specifically in terms of adaptive response why the Marcon's, why the staph situates itself there, other than knowing that the terrain itself has been altered. And that means we're vulnerable in that particular area due to any number of things that preceded it, perhaps years of other medications, or maybe it is another heavy metal issue as well. But in terms of targeting the Marcon's, the silver can penetrate biofilms and get into the mucous membranes of the sinus cavity and neutralize the staph there. So I know that we can use the silver hydrosol locally and succeed.
Okay, so the silver would be useful for that. Okay.
Yes, direct point of foci delivery.
Okay. Do you think that Aspergillus fumigatus has anything to do with the Marcon's?
It may. I mean, I think it can be different for everyone, and that's the thing. They try to say it's the same for everybody, but it never is. And some people, you'll see evidence of Aspergillus in that context, and some not. So I don't know if it's a law that when you have Marcon's, you have Aspergillus. I don't know of that.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Donald. All right.
All right. Desiree.
Yes.
Anything you'd like?
Yes.
Go ahead.
So I was just wondering, you said that, you know, people with Lyme disease, if they take the shot, then it really affects them. Like, what does it do to people with that?
Well, people have had bad reactions. I mean, Robert probably has more info on it. I just know what I've heard from others, or I've read it one place, and I don't remember exactly where I did. And it was about 2 months ago. And it just got me more adamant about not letting any of our people take this shot. Can you lend any insight to this, Robert?
Well, we know with Lyme we have many compromised pathways of function, like elimination pathways, excretion pathways, as well as the presence of what they call the Borrelia spirochete. So you're already in a vulnerable chronic state of adaptation for survival. And So you're weaker on that scale, so to speak. So the vulnerability is increased to whatever it is these shots are doing. You know, we know some of what they're doing. Some we're still learning. So anybody who is chronically immunocompromised in any way, shape, or form is much more vulnerable or susceptible to the more severe responses or reactions. If not initially, then what, as I said before, I think we talked about this on a previous call, the antibody-dependent enhancement, immune enhancement, or pathogenic priming. That is, we are gearing the body for one last, response, which is on the the hurricane scale, it would be a Category 6 response, which doesn't exist in nature. At least they haven't classified that. But imagine a cytokine storm, an immune response of the Category 6 level, and you'll understand the danger that even if you survive the initial assault of the shot, it could be precipitating a deadly event when your immune system responds or reacts to things that are normally circulating in the environment. So these are some very real concerns I have, which is why, I continue to talk about how can we remediate that potential in those people when they wake up and said, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe I took the shot. Now I'm in trouble. I want to address this now." So that was the thing I mentioned about copper. The copper hydrosol in the fall may be a life-saving element to cool the inflammation without suppressing or damaging the liver, which, like the steroid hormones like prednisone, can kill you in the process of shutting your immune system down to save you. So there's a fine line there.
All righty. Oof. A lot of great questions, and we're only halfway down the row. Here we go. R.A. Come in, R.A.
Hi, Robert. So glad you're on. I did do the vaccine. My husband and I did the Pfizer. In fact, most of my family members have taken it. I did have a niece that would not do the vaccine, and she ended up in the hospital, almost died on a respirator with the illness, and she's now home and on oxygen. So can you explain that?
Well, no one can explain that because they don't have a test to confirm the presence of COVID. So whatever happened to her, I don't know. I don't think they even know. But they are playing out a narrative that there's one virus that caused all of this, which is a complete, absolute fabrication and utter nonsense. So, seeing someone get sick is not evidence that it proves that those guys and gals are right. It just says there's something that happened to your niece, in a sense. And again, without more information, I couldn't begin to tell you what happened to her, but I'm glad she's alive and off the ventilator. But if she's having oxygenation issues, I come back to, what can we do regarding that? And, that becomes the hawthorn berry we've talked about, different things for the lungs that is in Unlock the Power to Heal, my chapter on Good Loving for Your Lungs, page 101. I talk about nebulizing the silver to help oxygenate, heal the tissue as well, and utilize lobelia. Lobelia is God's medicine for the lungs in a tincture form in water every day a little bit. And then we talk about nitric oxide for endothelial tissue and opening up the capillaries at the most minute level of lung tissue and elsewhere so that there's an ease of delivery and transport of oxygen and other nutrients through the blood. So I would respond to what has occurred, and I wouldn't fall prey to the fiction that one virus did this because she didn't get the shot.
Okay.
Yes, R.A.?
Oh, I just was wondering when his show was on. Is that a radio show or a TV show?
Go ahead, Robert.
Video now. It's video and audio, and you can get it either way. It's live. 3 to 5 Eastern Time U.S. And
okay.
If you're at my website, we actually go later than 5 because there's bonus after the official one because UK Health Radio carries us for 2 hours and others. But the podcast is available from so many sites I can't even mention. But if you just come to robertscottbell.com /listen at the end, you'll go right to the page that will show you how you can watch it live or later.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well, all right, Diane and Paul.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, this is Diane. Hi, Robert. I have a question.
I'm getting like a real moldy kind of smell out of my hair, my head, and I'm tried all kinds of different things, and I'm at first I thought it was just my hair dryer, that maybe I needed a new hair dryer, so I went and bought a new hair dryer. But now every time after I do wash my hair and I'm blow drying it, I'm getting a lot of like moldy smell, and I don't know what to treat my head with.
Are you in a damp, humid environment?
No, I'm in San Diego. It's pretty dry, actually.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know if it actually is that or what's causing the smell, but a product from the orange peel, distilled from the orange peel, is known as delimonene. I don't know if that we've ever talked about delimonene here. There's a product called Organic Orange TKO, which is... It's sold as a cleaning agent, as a super concentrate. You wouldn't necessarily need to do that in that concentrated form, but you can mix it with water and dilute it and use it. And that also stops mold, black mold, aspergillus as well, if that's the case. Delimonene is also an insecticide, but a safe one. It, again, can be used for organic agriculture, but ants and roaches don't like it. That's something I'd look to. I mean, you can certainly use silver and or copper hydrosol topically, but we don't know if it's actually mold or if it's just the smell of mold. But delimonene is a good substance to have on hand for a number of reasons.
Oh, could you spell that for me?
It's D-limonene, L-I-M-O-N-E-N-E.
Okay, and is it a cleaning agent?
Correct. It's sold as a cleaning agent. There is a company called Orange Guard that has gone through the EPA rigmarole to get it approved as a pesticide, interestingly enough, but... The delimonene from the orange TKO is a little stronger, even though it's not sold as a pesticide. It's sold as a cleaning agent. It can replace most of the cleaners you have right now.
Oh, okay. Is it like biodegradable?
Oh, yeah. It's a completely safe, natural substance. Again, it's approved for organic agriculture, OMRI certified even.
Okay. All right. Maybe
Diane, hold on. What you're describing, I've heard many times before.
Mm-hmm.
Is part of the process that you were going through. Okay? Now, the apartment that you're leaving, was there any indication there was mold in that apartment?
No, we haven't seen any evidence of anything like that.
Okay. And in our talks, did I say that I thought that Lyme was a co-infection?
Right, yeah.
And did I say that Candida might be another co-infection?
Yeah.
Okay, so those, you know, are all the same thing I heard from people who had Lyme and Candida. So we'll go over, there are many things that are on the website that you could be doing, but you're busy right now, so the next time we talk, I'll go over them.
Okay. Yeah, okay. We are trying to get moved by the end of the month, but...
but I do have your answer. All right.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Lori, I believe Lori, is that you, 248, Lori?
Yes. Hi.
Hi, Lori. Welcome.
Thank you. I guess... This is kind of a lot, and I am on the same page. I know a lot. I've learned a lot about this in the past. Kind of been learning since the 80s on some of this stuff, so I get it. My kids all went out and got that vaccine, every one of them, and the ones talking about are kids. It is a death row, isn't it? I've been trying to tell them. And that.
Well, even if you buy into the narrative, you know, nobody has argued with a straight face that kids are a vector for transmission or they're suffering and dying from this thing. So that they're being targeted tells you all you need to know about the nefarious scheme afoot. And it's a sad thing that many people, adults that are intelligent otherwise, have, again, for lack of a better way to say it, drunk the pharmaceutical Kool-Aid on this issue and worship doctors as if they're, you know, gods. And this is why I say it's a spiritual crisis we're in and nothing less. People claim to worship, you know, at their church or synagogue or temple of choice, and yet they turn their bodies over to that church of pharmaceutical mysticism the rest of the week, and it's sad to see.
Yeah, it is sad. Do you know anything about chemtrails or Agent Green or any of that?
Well, we've talked about geoengineering. There are a lot of people that are much more studied on it than I am. I don't mean to say it's not important, but again, it can be a distraction because I don't have any control over what they're spraying on us or not spraying on us. So I try to live the cleanest life I can, stay connected to source and navigate a way through, and hopefully prayerfully that will correct as well as consciousness shifts.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, sorry that you're in that state of mind at this moment, and we will really do our very best, Lori, to help change that for you. Because here it's all about hope, and it's all about focusing on only getting well, not who, why, where, what, when, because it doesn't matter. If you die, you die, but if you get better, that's all that matters. So, hang in there and come around more often. And you'll begin to see that there is a place where there really is hope, and many, many people who restore their health. And certainly everybody else understands what you're going through. And yes, Robert, you know, it's amazing. I always say that repetition for toxic disease sufferers is the best way to learn. And because every time you do a show, 6 weeks, 10 weeks down the road, there's always a half a dozen or more brand new people who, even though we discussed all of this, they never heard it. But if they're smart and they go back and listen to these recorded calls from Saturday, they're going to get a ton of knowledge, and they're going to hear from different people the same thing all the time. And ultimately, at some point, it sinks in, and boom, then the attitude of that individual changes. Now, we've had a very quiet laughing bird, Karen the librarian, Nut Hatch, because she knows that her home will be destroyed any day now.
Oh, goodness. Robert, thank you for, again, being with us. A couple people ago, you mentioned something about alpha silica for connective tissue.
Yes.
Like, is that like the strains or weak? Well, anyway, can you explain what that is?
I was losing some of your words. I apologize. Can you get to that question again?
Okay. About alpha silica or connective tissue.
Yes. Yes.
What? How would that help, or what areas of the body would it help, or what condition?
Silica or okay. Thank you. Silicon or silica is the connective tissue mineral, bar none. You know, people think that they have osteopenia and osteoporosis, that they're calcium deficient. They're not. It is a silicon deficiency primarily, among other trace elements, but that's number one on the list. So all connective tissue, what is the connective tissue? It's the bones, it's the muscles, it's the ligament, it's the tendons, it's the cartilage, it's the neuron, it's the brain tissue, it's the cardiovascular tissue, it's the, you know, the circulatory system. That mineral is critical for connective tissue integrity. So when we talk about cancer, cancer kills you not because it's there, but because it spreads and metastasizes by chewing through connective tissue, strengthening connective tissue. Once again, the breakdown of the neuron results in any number of neurological diagnoses because silicon is deficient. So there's almost nothing that you can't relate back to. If the connective tissue of the body is weak, any number of manifestations of quote-unquote diagnosed diseases can occur. So when we're doing a loading phase of the alpha silica, we do 3 tablets 4 times a day to really replenish the lost silicon stores. And that could be 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5, 6 weeks, whatever, until you're at more of a maintenance dose. You could drop down to half of that for a while. But, again, it's just one of the key minerals that is just been ripped out of the foods or in the ground, et cetera, and it's not there. If it's not in the food you eat, it's not in you. And that's the right form to get it. So that's why I recommend and use it.
So if a friend of mine has back issues, and I can't think of the word I want, but that would be something that might be helpful for her.
Yeah, I mean, if you have lost a skeletal integrity, disc integrity,
yeah,
all of that's a silicon issue, silicon deficiency.
Okay. And are there things that cause that, or as you said, that it's been taken out of food and the soil is not as good as it used to be?
Excuse me, Karen.
Right.
Are you wearing a headset or something?
Yes, I'll take it off.
Yeah, because,
okay,
boy, it's not clear on the recording at all. Go ahead.
Like silicon is not, it's taken out of the foods and it's not, the soil is depleted in many parts of the world. So that would be part of the reason.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, very good. Thank you. That helps.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. No, I mean, it all, you know, it's just the toxicity. It's ever increasing in all the years that I've been doing this and studying, and now they're coming up with ways to expedite the elimination. So protection is more important than ever. And these minerals that you're hearing about, you need to ask if it should be something you should be doing, okay, that it will be beneficial to any of you, and it probably will. So let's keep on moving in. And thanks, Karen. And really, it was much clearer when you weren't talking through the device. I could tell. Okay, so let's see. Chrissy disappeared. Joanne, are you 334?
Yes.
Come in.
Hello?
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 Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Is there anything you'd like to say to Mr. Bell?
Well, I'm a very, very new person, so you may have answered this before, but as far as colloidal silver, what's the difference between the ionic and non-ionic, and which one is best?
You asked the most knowledgeable guy on earth about silver. Take it away, Robert.
Sure. Well, just so you know, the only bioactive state of silver, that is working within a living system, is the ion, okay? The ion. Now, that means you remove an electron, and you are left with a positive charge, positive charge, positive effect. So at the same time, when you say ionic silver, it's a confusing statement because a lot of people misunderstand what that means, because you can have silver ions dissociating from a salt solution of silver. That's not a colloid, right? A colloid is different from salt chemistry. It's suspended in water, and you have a 360-degree active interaction with that molecule, if you will, or ion, whereas in a salt you have silver that would be dissolved or bound into salt chemistry, and within the salt relationship there will be some ions that dissociate that provide the horsepower for functional use in the body. So people making colloidal silver at home may have a fraction of a percentage point of the total silver content in that liquid that actually is what we call bioactive, and that occurs via primarily dissociating ions. The vast majority of the silver is bound into a complex relationship like a salt or protein, and then it is two or three or more times removed from bioactivity, so it never comes out to do anything in the body, and it may be difficult to excrete. In that case, you bioaccumulate a form of silver that, while not harmful to function, can create a discoloration over time if you do it too much, if the body can't eliminate it through the liver and then through the colon primarily. So the ion is the active state of silver, but ionic silver is a term that is confusing because people aren't saying the same thing when they say it. But the bioactive silver hydrosol, which I've used clinically for almost 20 years now, is a form that contains the highest level of ion or bioactive silver, 97 or 98%, with a small nanoparticulate reservoir beyond that for further activity, because it's so small, the surface area is so great, you need very little total silver to affect a very powerful change. So little to nothing is wasted in that form of silver, which has only two ingredients, pharmaceutical-grade purified water and 5/9 pure silver, but in that bioactive state. Now, I risk confusing you more by saying what I've just said, but I'm trying to make it as simple as possible. So feel free to ask me a follow-up question if you have it.
Yeah, all that went way over my head. But it sounds like maybe, well, I noticed the one that the Mills Protocol recommends is, they call it ionic. On the bottle, mm-hmm. It says ionic. So
one of the two best created on our planet, one of the two finest on Earth.
Yeah.
The sovereign.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And I'm not just saying that because I'm not in love with the man, the guy who owns the
company. Right, right. We know it's frustrating, but yeah.
Great product. There's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
Am I in trouble, Robin?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Joanne, you're very welcome. You should come around, girl. People who become community members are in the highest percentage of people who get well, and that's no lie. You come on a Sunday and you talk to all the people who come, and they'll tell you that they can laugh because they know they're now going to get better. But I'm glad you're here today.
Thank you. That sounds great. Thank you.
So after that, it's Robert Scott Bell. Robert, here comes a little humor. Hello, Joyce.
Hello, Melly Poo. I have so many questions, but see, I'm pretty old, and because you had me muted when I was asking them, now I forgot.
Well, that's not unusual. We're glad you joined us, Joyce, but we lost both our girls in Europe. It seems that we had problems with the international connection today.
Chrissy?
We don't have Chrissy or Freddie Bean. Either they got upset when we started talking about medical marijuana, or we had a transatlantic trouble. Okay, 951. Valera.
Yeah.
Anything you want to say? Last chance.
First of all, I want to thank him for coming, and I wish. I know myself. I would like, you know, when people shed around you, even though, people that have taken the shot and shed, and I'm trying to do preventative measures to keep me healthy. I just bought some pine needles, and I've been making pine needle tea. Is that serum? Actually, it's a type of serum. It might not be strong enough. What do you think of that?
Well, again, we're all trying to figure out what best to do to address the spike protein issue. I've mentioned the things that I've utilized. I don't know that those things are specific to neutralize the spike protein, but it addresses the results of the contact with it, which is important, critically important. People are arguing that the pine needle tea is something that somehow interacts and inhibits the spike protein from causing the problem. I don't know definitively if that's the case. There's a lot of discussion about it. But it's not a harmful substance. It has a lot of good phytocannabinoids, vitamin C, and other things in it naturally. So all I could say is if you have a good form of it, then by all means it can only be helpful.
Okay, thank you. And what are you taking for it now? Because I might not have heard that. You're taking like hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin or something like that?
No, I would go with the homeopathic form. Was the start of homeopathy was cinchona, which is where they get, you know, the hydroxychloroquine derived from, synthesized into a drug. And the ivermectin also has a botanical origin. And I defer to those, even though I know that those drugs are less harmful than a lot of drugs out there on the market. But I talk about the known damage to endothelial tissue, and I promote the use of anything that enhances nitric oxide production in the body. Also, molecular hydrogen facilitates utilization of nitric oxide and selenium, which is also very protective. And we talked about silica being critical for all connective tissue. That includes endothelial tissue. I sent Mel a webinar that's coming up on molecular hydrogen this week. It's free to participate. That's something, Mel, that's why I sent you a bunch of emails today, because I thought your group is so keyed into this stuff. It goes a little bit deeper into some of these issues and why they're important.
Can you spell the name of that thing that you said? You said something when you first started talking, and that, can you spell it? It was something that was basically what hydrochloroquine and stuff was made out of. Is CH something or something like that?
Oh, yeah, cinchona, Peruvian bark. It's the origin for homeopathy. That's the first remedy,
it?
Cinchona.
Can you spell it? Can you spell it, please?
C-I-N-C-O-H-O-N-A, cinchona. It's also known as the China tree, China, just like the country, and that's a homeopathic form.
Okay.
And, again, there are botanicals made, this is why they put the bark of the cinchona tree into seltzer water in the equatorial regions to prevent malaria, for instance. And these are bitters. But, again, every one of those drugs has a botanical origin.
Like molecular hydrogen, is that the same as hydrogen water by any chance?
Right. That's the most efficient way to get the hydrogen into your system. There are cannulas that you can breathe it in. But that's good. So the hydrogen is important because it also will help down-regulate cytokine storms. So it's another part of the strategy I've talked about in responding to those that have taken the shot and may be subject to the pathogenic priming next fall.
All
right.
Okay.
Yeah,
keep
going. Okay, thank you.
Great stuff, Val. Vanessa, anything you want to say to Robert?
I just had a quick question. So, because I've got a few friends, and myself also included, who have autoimmunity. I have not taken the shot because I don't believe in all this craziness, but most of them have taken it, and a few of them with Crohn's and colitis, and they said, oh well, we don't want to die, and that's why we've taken the vaccine. So from all that I've heard so far from what you've said, it is actually going to worsen their autoimmune condition, right?
Well, yes, correct, because it really hyperstimulates or sets the stage for a hyperstimulation response to normally circulating virions or, different proteins at that level that normally go around and circulate more heavily in the fall and winter season. So I believe they are much more at risk by taking this experimental injection than they are for being exposed to something that has never been proven to cause even one death.
Okay. Well, I tried talking to them, but what can
I do? You can only do what you can do. And so you can feel comfortable, even though you're sad that they did it, that you didn't stay quiet. You at least tried, but you can't beat them into submission. You can only be there for them if they wake up and want help.
Yeah.
Now, it sounds, Robert, like, you and I are really okay with that. But it's after all these years of helping people, we've come to understand you can't help everybody. I mean, some people, you're just not going to reach them no matter what you do, how much you care about them. They're not going to hear you. They are conditioned. All right. Rockin' Robin, welcome.
Hello, everyone. Sorry I came in late today. I only have one question, or I wanted to ask Robert Scott Bell. I have a daughter who's taken the shot. My son has not. I worry a lot about her. But just like who we voted for, I can't convince her otherwise of anything once she sets her mind to it. And she teaches, and they literally were forcing the teachers to take the shot. So my question is, when I want to tell people to not take the shot, I don't want to use terms they won't understand. What can I say in two or three sentences that would be that would magnify their interest so they would start researching? What's the most terrible thing about that shot?
Oh, gosh, that's a loaded question. Honestly, it's an important question to ask, and I don't dispute that it needs to be asked, but I think you need to ask the Holy Spirit, Divine Spirit, in the moment. You know, God grant me the wisdom, you know, to guide my tongue to communicate what will open their hearts and minds to see this, because there isn't a recipe for response. There isn't one thing that will you, oh, if I say this, it's all over, right? Everybody reacts and responds differently to each and every word that we use. And so I have to be very present, and I can use a lot of different words, and I don't have a script that I go, oh, every time somebody brings that up, this is what I say. I wish it was that easy, and we would all be successful in, you know, basically convincing people of the danger that they might make a better decision. So as much as I'd love to give you an answer, I don't have one. You know,
well,
we
I know that I have heard it changes your DNA and your RNA.
Well, it is synthetic RNA, which is designed to cause your DNA to manifest these spike proteins. And there's no off switch. So, I mean, that might work for somebody when you tell them that. They're like, oh, okay. But another person, it'll go right over their head. They won't even. So there's not a one-size-fits-all response. That's why I say you have to be very present with the Spirit to guide you to communicate something that would reach them. And it might not reach them the moment you say it, but it might occur to them a day or two, a week or two, a month or two later. You don't know. But that's where we don't have control over these people. They have free will. God gave them that free will, so I can't violate it. I can only be there for
right.
them and help them when they're ready.
Well, I have heard rumors that in 2 years they're going to start seeing results from these shots. And then in 5 years there could be a lot of people that would die from this shot. Do you think that is true?
Well, yeah, I've had physicians on my program say that 20 to 30% of the people that got the shot will die within a year because of the pathogenic priming response that we talked about. I don't wish that to happen. I don't hope that it happens, but I have to take it seriously when enough physicians have brought up the issue. And what I'm trying to do is provide a way out for those people when they wake up, if they wake up, so that it doesn't happen.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Robin. I know you were up half the night talking to Tia.
No, I wasn't. I just woke up and was on my phone because I couldn't go back to sleep.
All righty. Joe, you have a question?
Hey, guys. This is Carrie Ann. Actually, hi, Robert. I've been
hi.
Enjoying listening to everything you're saying. And I did just want to ask you, because a lot of what you're saying is in alignment with my beliefs and just kind of my view on things. And kind of to what Mel was saying earlier, how we have to just focus on healing and not the negative stuff. In that tune, Joe and I have stopped watching mainstream media and news. My question to you is, what are your primary news sources, or where do you obtain your current information, specifically on things like the vaccination and information like that?
I get it from the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Well, where did they get it? I mean, obviously, we go to your site as well, but I didn't know if there were any other sources that you could help provide to, you know, kind of give guided source
yeah.
information.
Well, what we do, my producer and I, we're an aggregator, if you will, of all the news that's going around to help decipher and translate into meaningful information that is empowering. Of course, that things that are considerations and maybe warnings to us. But we don't have one site. We don't do, oh, we only get our information from one site. We scour the news sources. We scour the peer-reviewed medical literature. I interview doctors, pharmacists, naturopaths, herbalists, homeopaths. So we're kind of an aggregator in that sense, that we utilize all the information available to us and try to make sense of it for everybody that comes to our show, my show, and listens and learns.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Well, I'll have to follow your site a little more closely then and just use the research and work that you guys are putting into it to my benefit and just, you know, we just want to be smart about what we're letting, what information we're letting into our.
I agree 100%. And you know what? Even as we go out to the world to get this information, it takes a very strong constitution to withstand the onslaught of how this information is being relayed. We try to take that information and turn it into something empowering, not disempowering.
Mm-hmm.
To acknowledge fear exists, but not be fearful, and always bring an option for a response that, again, brings you back to your power.
You're speaking to my heart. I appreciate everything that you do. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else have a question in the event that somehow I skipped over you by accident? Hit star five, whatever it is, and we'll get that question up. Okay. Question going once. A question going twice. All
Wait, can
Rob,
I ask a question? It's R-A.
R-A. R-A. All right. You got to learn how to hand up here. Whoa. You can ask a question.
Thank you.
But if you back, you have to learn how to bang on star five.
Okay, thank you. So since all of us have taken the Pfizer or the different vaccine, are you saying that we've cut our life in shorter now?
Well, the predictions from many physicians is that you're at risk for a hyperimmune response that is life-threatening the next time you encounter normally circulating cold, flu kind of things that happen. I am not saying that that's a fact. I'm just saying that historically what has been studied about this and the physicians that I've interviewed are very concerned. Now, obviously, in terms of shortening lifespan by a month, a day, a year, I mean, that becomes irrelevant because if you have a Category 6 cytokine storm, you may or may not, depending on what you do to mitigate it, because, you know, modern medicine does triage you with medicines that can be life-saving but can also be deadly. So that's why I've lectured and continue to lecture on the remedies in such circumstances. So if you're vulnerable to perhaps that cytokine response, what can you do? And I talked about hydrogen, nitric oxide, selenium, as well as copper hydrosol, which will be different from the silver hydrosol because it will cool the inflammatory response much more rapidly and safely in those cases. So I am anxiously awaiting especially that copper hydrosol from my friends that make the Sovereign Silver. They say it should be ready by September. I pray that it is.
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
so I don't say it's
much.
Inevitable, but I just say that the risk is being pointed out to me by people smarter than me. But I'm also focused not on the fear of that, but the remedy for that.
Okay.
All right, Catherine, I see you. Catherine of the Desert. I don't know how we missed her. Come on in, Catherine.
Yes, thank you so much, Robert, for all your information and help on our show. I just had one question about a product that Ty and Charlene that was on your program sounded like was a miracle product called Essioc-T that cures cancer and so many things. What is your opinion of that?
Well, Renee Cates has developed that Canada many years ago, and many different companies claim to have the original formulation or have improved upon it. I don't know. I haven't looked into it specifically, but I know that Essioc-T is a powerful adjunct for cancer recovery protocol. So it is a legitimate medicine. But again, you have many arguments out there in the marketplace as to who's got the best formula. I don't have an answer for that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Catherine, glad you joined us today, young lady.
You're welcome.
Anybody else have a question for Robert before Robert gives us a final thought? All right, Robert, what would you like to say to this pretty large group in closing with about a half a dozen newbies, buddy?
Yes. Well, I would once again urge that we are compassionate to one another because we don't know how each of us have gotten to this point unless we really explore and ask questions and sit and listen to each other. And as much as I have very strong perspectives and opinions about what is right or wrong relative to medicine and how to respond to these things and what this COVID thing is or is not, again, everybody's got a different state of consciousness. And one of the things we are asked to do as we mature spiritually is to recognize that we're each on our own individual path, even if we share the same religious beliefs. It almost doesn't matter at that sense, because if you boil down, ultimately you'll find there are differences in every one of us, and that's okay. In fact, that's the way God set this place up. The question is, can we be loving and compassionate with those with whom we disagree? And I say, as long as they don't violate our fundamental freedoms, then there's no issue. But we have a right, a duty, and obligation to protect our integrity, bodily and otherwise. So don't feel bad if you have to stand your ground and make, you know, a barrier, if you will, to say, this is something that I'm not allowing in my consciousness, in my life. That doesn't mean you're mean and nasty. It means that you love yourself enough to protect yourself, too. But at the same time, you can do that with love. They may not see it or understand it, but I urge you to, again, always look with love, because we have that love from God, and we would do well to emulate that the best of our ability while we are here. It will help us whenever we go where we go next. So thank you for the opportunity, Mel, as always, to be with you guys. I appreciate you guys so much.
Well, what I'm going to do, Robin, is I'm going to create a little thing called Robert's Got Bell, Here and Now. And I'm going to put all the links that you sent me in it and let them go crazy and go where they want to go.
Okay, great. Yeah, the things I sent you for those that want to go further in certain realms, thank you, Mel, for helping that. That's why I do it, to give people that opportunity. So thank you.
No, I know why you do it. And if you do it more often, I'll keep putting them in that thread.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Robert, I mean, how can we thank you enough? I mean, I go and grab you at least once every couple of months, and every time, you know, it's something new. Even for those who have been here all those other calls, there's always something new, and then there's reinforcing the basics. And there's talking about things and products that we don't even have, okay? And one must learn if some of these things are going to be beneficial to them.
Mm-hmm.
We ask that anything you add to our protocol that you discussed with John and I. That's all. Robert, God bless you, buddy. Thank you. I'll be bugging you in about 6 weeks again.
I keep trying that you're not going to call me back, but you keep calling me. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
You're doing nothing wrong, my brother. You're doing a lot right. Thank you so much. You have a
big
great day,
you
and best
thank
of
you.
Family.
Take care. You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Robert.
Now, everyone else, I want you to stick around and give a big thank you to Robert. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you,
Robert.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. Now, all right. I'm going to run through everybody really, really quick. Don't hang up. Okay. Catherine, you and I need to talk. I hope you're okay. Agent B1, I'll be talking to you soon again. Robin,
thanks,
Robin, I knew you were sleeping. That's all I'm going to say.
No, I wasn't.
Val, I'm always impressed with what it is you know already. And we'll be talking more in the next day or so. Laughing Bird, I give you a big hug, honey. You didn't laugh a whole lot today. I know you're nervous.
I'm nervous? I'm not nervous, you jackass.
No, we're not talking to you, Joyce. Oh, okay. Talking to Laughing Bird. Calm down,
oh.
Joyce.
I thought I was the only one who laughed. Okay, thank you. Yeah, he usually is really mean to me, so.
Oh, boy.
All right. See, who? Hey, will you keep quiet for a minute? I'll get to you last, all right? Let's see.
Yes, here.
Laurie, glad you joined us. Honest to God, the people who are the highest percentage of people to get well are those who become part of this community. And we can talk more about that tomorrow. We have prayer and fellowship. You don't have to pray. You just sit there and enjoy. And then when we have fellowship, man, you can ask a question of every other person who comes to that call. So consider coming tomorrow. It's 2 hours earlier so that everybody gets the Sunday afternoon to do what they need to do. And we're very glad you joined us today. Diane and Paul, if you're still here. I don't think so. They're really quick. They're so busy moving. They're moved. All right, they're out of here. Let's see, who's left? Boom, 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 boom. Laughing Bird, we got. Desiree.
Yes.
Now, aren't you going to leave your job soon?
I'm not going to leave my job, no.
Okay, so that definitely is Denise. I get confused sometimes, you and Denise, because believe it or not, no matter which one I call after I hang up or before I call, the other one calls. So it's always...
Oh, that's so weird.
It's very weird that Denise calls and then Desiree calls, or I call Desiree and then Denise calls, or I call Denise and then all of a sudden the phone rings, it's Desiree. So if you wonder why I'm confused, that's why. All right.
All right.
My buddy from New England, sorry about the elimination. It happens to the best of them. The hockey is still very, very great. Brian, all right, there's Joyce again. She's going to make fun of that. I love hockey. Brian, glad you're here all the time, buddy. I mean, do you believe it when I say the highest percentage of people who get well become a community member?
I sure do.
Okay, well, thanks, buddy. Let's see. Brenda? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well today, Mel. Thank you.
We're so quick. Quit it.
That's Joyce. The dog is biting her ankles. I don't know who trained it, but very good job. All right.
Mel?
Hold on a second. Who said Mel? Put your hand up, please. I mean, you know, why don't we...
That's Brenda.
Okay, what Brenda? Okay.
Well, I do have some questions on the nitro that I started on, if I can talk to you right after the call. Just short.
Yeah, you can stay. You can stay. No problem. All right, okay. Nancy, you're going to stay, and everything's okay. Carrie Ann, I'm glad you made it, really. I don't know why I didn't hear from you yesterday. I thought I was going to. But why don't we talk? Are you going to come to prayer and fellowship?
Yes, sir.
So then I'll wake you up, okay?
Well, what time?
Early.
I mean, obviously, if I'm there at the prayer, I'm sliding in, like, at that time. But you can, I'll do my best to answer if you call.
All right, good enough. All right, everybody else, have a good day. We'll see you all again tomorrow. I sure hope you enjoyed the show. Bye-bye, everybody.
Mail.
Very good. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wait till everyone stops from.
Mail.
Hold on a second.